everybody. Welcome to another episode of What's It Like, where I interview folks from all over about all kinds of different experiences. My typical disclaimer, this is one person's story of their experience with something. Somebody else could have a very similar experience, but have a very different story. And that's okay. That's awesome. We're just getting a window into what this might be like for one person. So I'd like to go ahead and welcome my guest for today. Thank you so much for joining us, Scott.
Hey, Hannah, good morning. It's still morning for both of us, so I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing all right today. I'm really excited to talk to you. Go ahead and tell our audience in a sentence or two, what is the experience you're going to be sharing with us today?
Well, I'm going to talk about what it's like to be a nudist and practice nudism. I'm going to just talk about my experience, and I feel I'm going to talk about, and what I really want to cover is just clearing misconceptions and misperceptions about the lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of people have they do have this kind of preconception of what that means. Let's start off on a kind of all on the same page. What is nudism? And that could be a very broad case. What is nudism?
The simple, dictionary definition, one sentence, is somebody who socializes or practices their lifestyle nude without clothes. Pretty straightforward when you think about it, but there's so many different, from everybody's different ideas and perceptions. There's so many sort of ideologies that branch out from it, but it's a simple concept of just, I spend my time without clothes.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, talk to me about how you first got into this. When did you first really learn about it as an option, as something that people really did, and what appealed to you about it?
So actually, to answer that question, I mean, it's something that I think we all kind of know about it. So I knew it was a lifestyle just from TV. They always talk about nude beaches, nudists. They call them colonies, of course, in movies. And that's, usually not the term we use. We use resorts. Hmm. But, I've understood the thing. But again, I had those misconceptions because, again, I probably first heard about nudism probably around 10, 11. And again, it's just from the typical movies and TV shows, the standard TV shows, like everybody else. So everybody kind of knows about it and knows its existence. But I really started in college. So what kind of backtracking of my youth and growing up and why this was an interesting lifestyle for me was I'm a big guy. I'm actually 6'5". And if you look at me, I'm fairly lean and, fit. But growing up, I always had, of course, I was always taller than my classmates, and I actually had fluctuating weight probably from about age 12 to about the end of college. So there were days where, I was bigger, thinner, and so forth. And so it may sound odd, and people usually don't associate body insecurities with males, but it was something that really had an effect on me, especially as I did the normal stuff growing up. I did sports. I played football in high school. And, because of my size and height and basically the perception that you're a guy, you play football, you're a happy-go-lucky guy. You're not, you're immune to it. So we call you, hurtful terms like, tubby or boy, you look fat. Inside they hurt me, but I kind of had to perceive myself and kind of show this sort of, kind of perception that didn't bother me at all, when in reality it did, and it always affected me to the point where I loved swimming but hated going to pool parties and avoided it growing up through high school because I didn't want to take off my shirt in front of everybody. And even in football, we kind of just changed in the locker room real quick. We never showered or anything like that, which I think that's kind of becoming the norm there. So I mean, it was kind of, face the wall, change my shirt real quick, and so forth. So I did grow up with a lot of insecurity. So what's funny is that nudism, if you asked 17, 18-year-old me, would you ever try it? I would say no way in hell, it would be.
Yeah.
It would be. So what ended up happening was I went to college about 3 hours from where I grew up. So I was fairly close to town, and I went away for school, and I was always, again, mentioning this, I was always very shy too. So I was always, my friends that I developed in high school were always friends that talked to me in class or something along those lines. So it's, I was never the outgoing type, you know, to say the least. So, you know, I went to college to kind of, you know, experience new things. And my first semester, I was working as a busboy at a chain restaurant, and I hated it. So I actually found a work-study program within my school that was actually starting the following semester. So I actually quit my busboy job right before the Christmas break so I could spend time at home with my family. And then I went back a little bit after January, New Year's Day, basically around the 4th or 5th, something like that. And so I was in communication with my roommate, and our dorm was a typical apartment. It was a closet, but it had, you know, what a typical two-bedroom would have. And you walked in, it had a tiny, tiny kitchen, the two bedrooms, the restroom, and the living room. But again, college dorms, so very small. And so I was communicating with my roommate, and my roommate wasn't going to return for about another few days. So I had basically about a full week by myself at my dorm, because I had to go start my new job at the campus bookstore. And I was watching TV that night, and it was just those regular late night sitcoms where they show things like Two and a Half Men, Family Guy, and, mm-hmm. you know, late at night after the news. And it was an episode of The Golden Girls. And it was an episode where they accidentally booked a vacation to a nudist resort. And so they're kind of having to escape from it. So that's another bad thing about, you know, the nudism. It's often also played for laughs.
Yeah.
So in this case, they were naked, and they were, if anybody knows the episode I'm referring to, it's a Valentine episode. So they're kind of, they're trying to escape the resort, and they're covering themselves, of course, with roses and things like that to imply that they are naked and they're trying to get out of there. You know, and again, played for laughs. But I was completely alone, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. So I, out of curiosity, I locked the doors and kind of double checked. Everybody was not home, and I slept that night. You know, I disrobed and went to bed. Woke up the next morning, and I thought this felt comfortable, and I did it in my dorm for about 2 days. And then I started kind of looking into Googling nude beaches in my area and so forth. And eventually I just ended up in a Google wormhole where I started sort of linking myself into legitimate nudist websites, and I started seeing what the lifestyle was, and I became interested in it at that point.
Interesting. Okay. So as moving on from there, and maybe it was, how did you really start to continue to incorporate it into your life? Is the way you practice it now very similar to the way you did back then, or are there changes? How did that continue to kind of evolve as a choice for you?
Well, from there, it's completely different then from now. Now I am more, I do the resort visits. I belong to the local, or not the local, the National Nudist Association and various things. So I'm much more open and practicing of it. So it's very completely different from then. So wouldn't, you know, kind of, you know, to speed through what it was a process between that time when, like I said, I started researching and seeing what nudism was about, and the time where I actually did it. It was about 2.5 years. So there was it sort of built up curiosity, started doing research. So I learned more until I eventually just took the plunge and went to a resort. And that was, so again, I was 18 at the time. So that was my freshman year. So I actually went at 21, the summer before I started my senior year of college.
Okay, so how did that first going to the resort kind of being, was that your, the first time you'd really been not, been practicing nudism, not just in your own space, like out with
others? Yeah, it's my first time being nude socially. So like I said, I had been doing a lot of research, and at the time there was a lot of chat rooms, and at the time, because again, this was about 2008 when I started, researching, and I didn't go until 2011, which would have been my senior year, before my senior year. So I spent that time sort of researching, and luckily there were a lot of websites that had, at the time, chat rooms, so there was a lot of legitimacy to them. So I was speaking with actual nudists, and they were telling me resources. So that's where I discovered the website, ANR, which is the American Association for Nude Recreation, AANR. And they're the ones that, that's the sort of the website I use to find legitimate resorts. Again, yeah. Because we see so many things, you know, you hear the misconception swingers and so forth. So you want to make sure you go to the right ones. And this is a, it gives you the certified resorts in your area or any geographical area. And so I did the research. And then as I was, again, sort of discovering, I would kind of hint at friends, you know, some people I was dating at the time, and sort of say, hey, you know, there's a resort nearby, or, oh, I heard, you know, through the grapevine that, that there's a resort. And again, that kind of maybe also caused my delay, is that everybody was very adamant and saying, it'll grow. There's no way will I ever do that. That's for sick people. So that kind of discouraged me from probably trying it sooner. And so what had happened was, it was an opportunity. I was traveling nearby to one of the cities. So it was actually a school competition for one of the clubs I was in. And we were doing a competition. It was a 2-day competition. So it was, we were supposed to travel there. I remember specifically, travel there Wednesday and you know, travel back Friday. So my original intentions, I had actually emailed the resort prior to get the information for first-time visitors and so forth. And I had sort of received all that, had all that information gathered. And like I said, we were supposed to be traveling back on Friday. So my intention was to go do the tour, which a lot of resorts require first-timers to do a tour. So my intentions, because I was going to get there late afternoon before the office closed on Wednesday, was to do the tour, sign up, get all the information, and then sort of do my day visit on my way back from Friday. So waking up that Wednesday, I was so nervous. I did the 3-hour drive. You know, I was shivering. It was crazy. I'm from a warm climate area, so you can imagine it being July, super hot, and for some reason I'm shivering cold. My heart's racing. Just, and this is all as I'm driving to the resort. And once I pulled up to the door, you have sort of the speaker box where they open the gate. And at that point, it was now or never. So you just hit the button, and I said, I'm here for the tour. For a first timer, they'd open the gate. I drove up to the office, and I went in there. Two nice ladies, they're fully clothed, but, and so, you know, they sort of put me at ease, and I said, I'm here for the tour. I had to fill out the paperwork, showed my ID, so forth, and then they gave me the tour of the grounds. And again, I had been researching for so long that when I toured the grounds, there was nobody there. I could hear people in the pool area. And at that point I said, well, it's still early enough. Can I do a day tour now? And they said, oh, absolutely. Here's the, they charged me the fee, gave me the towels, everything. And it was just so nerve wracking. And at that point I was like, well, now I'm no turning back now. I went into the locker room. It was early in the afternoon, so there was nobody there. It was a typical locker room, very nice, very clean, but it had the two shower heads, again, with a typical shower room, so anybody that walks in could see the showers going in there. And so I took the shower. There was nobody in there, but every time you kind of heard a little noise, you're kind of doing the who's there type deal, because it's the first time being nude. And then I walked in there. I sort of, you know, dried off. Because again, I took a shower before to go into the pool area, wrapped a towel like a typical locker room, and walked from the locker room area across the grounds to the pool. And as I opened the door, the first thing I see is a naked woman about, you know, in her 50s, and just so nonchalantly saying, oh, hi, good afternoon. And it was a sort of a shock. And at that point, like I said, I have the towel around me, and you see other people there, and that at this point it was just kind of no turning back. Ripped the towel off, laid on the lounger, and laid down for a while. And from that point forward, I've been a nudist.
I love that story, kind of, you know, trying to figure out you know, getting over that initial discomfort, and just because it was new and different. So I'd love to, let's delve into a little bit about, what are some of the misconceptions, the misunderstandings about it?
Right. There's so many of them, you know, to kind of narrow it down, it's not a sexual activity. They think it is sort of sexual. Not the case at all. Again, and that's why I go to that Anner site to find the legitimate resorts, because each resort protects the privacy of the guests as well as to the comfort level. So, you know, the main thing is they don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. And so anything sexual is prohibited. So if, for example, if you're at a resort and I show up and I'm overtly flirting with you and it makes you uncomfortable, your job is to just report it to the staff and they have security escort that person out. Again, part of the paperwork you usually fill out for your first time visit is just those guidelines of nothing sexual. You do not make anybody uncomfortable. No photography that's not solicited or approved for by the resort and things like that. So you're protected. But again, it's not a sexual activity or lifestyle at all. It's simply just socializing without clothes.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I like that you're really highlighting that the resorts are careful to protect that. When this kind of thing is played for laughs in TV shows and movies, a lot of it comes down to characters kind of being to consent questions, or characters are suddenly subjected to somebody else's nakedness without. And so I'd love to hear about, how that plays into the nudism community and what they do to make sure that consent is still being followed even within this choice.
Yes, well, do you mean as far as protecting or making the guests feel comfortable, or?
Yeah, or like what is the general community response to this? Like, have you run into people who don't seem to take that seriously, or is it very much like a community-wide, no, this is something that...
Absolutely, it is a very... That's the thing about nudism and why I also gravitated. It wasn't just so much the comfort and overcoming my insecurities. It's the fact that everybody sort of, you know, we embrace each other and we protect each other and we sort of help each other out. So it is in essence, a network of people, and we always protect ourselves. We protect the lifestyle.
Yeah.
First and foremost. And exactly that, because the thing with nudism and with resorts, there's so many different factors that, like, for example, resorts close and things like that. So oftentimes it's sort of, we kind of have to protect the community to ensure that there is a community in the future.
Yeah.
And so anybody made to feel uncomfortable is we're losing a potential or current member. And that's something we don't want. We want to have it for generations to come, you know, if I want to, which is true. I just turned 30 this summer. So I want to do it when I'm 60, 70, 80, hopefully, you know. Yeah. I don't want, you know, sort of that to do. But the thing is with, and that kind of goes back to the actual act of just being nude, is that nobody judges you and everybody's so accepting when you don't have your clothes on. So that's the thing about it, is that nudists are, if you ever meet one, friendliest people you'll ever know, the people that will never judge you, because in essence, you just don't care, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, that kind of led into my next question. I'm curious about the differences between, you know, if you meet people at these resorts and you connect and you strike up a friendship or whatever, like, I'm curious about the differences of building a relationship, a friendship with someone while you meet when you are both naked versus meeting in maybe a more traditional atmosphere. How does that dynamic change things?
The main thing is that when you're nude, your guard is down. I mean, there's nothing for you to hide behind. There's nothing for you to pretend. I mean, because there's essentially, you're naked, you know, you're bare. And the top of that, so is the other person. And so it's much easier to talk to someone. You're more open. And that's actually why I kind of mentioned earlier about how I was so shy. One of the big things I noticed once I started this lifestyle was how open I was my final year of college. I started, without even noticing, I started talking to people, you know, kind of starting conversations at restaurants and bars and even in class. Mm-hmm. And it was a big difference for me, which again, it made me a completely different person just by, you know, losing my clothes, which is, it's funny, it sounds funny, but I mean, it is something, like I said, it was something that was very beneficial to me, both with my perception of my body and and even being more outgoing, because again, you're, when you're naked, you, your guard is down, there's nothing for you to hide. Whereas let's say you and I are at a Starbucks and I go in there and start in designer clothes and start bragging about my BMW, which I probably don't have, and, you know, start saying I have so much money because I'm wearing this fancy suit. It's not me, because in the end, I'm not rich. You know, I'm simply just trying to put up a perception and so forth. We all have designer clothes and so forth. And when you're naked, we're all equal. It's the great equalizer. It was a documentary I had seen on ESPN probably around the time I started. And one of the things they had mentioned, which I think it's different now with the whole scandals of college football, but they were talking about Woody Hayes, the old Ohio State coach. And they said that one of the advantages and tactics that he used to understand his players was actually showering with them. So the coaches had their separate locker room and the players had their locker room. So after practice and after games, he would shower them. And during the showers, he would ask them questions about their personal life, because that reason, they're not going to lie to you and put up a sort of a fence or a guard. They're going to spill the beans and tell you, here's my home life, here's my parents, here's where I'm from. And that sort of gave him an advantage, because he really knew his players that way, as opposed to someone who's just kind of telling me about yourself and they're going to, you know, at a meeting room or anywhere else. So that's the really interesting thing about it, is that it's true. We kind of just, we are who we are, and we put ourselves out as who we are.
Yeah. You started off this whole conversation talking about the insecurities that you had about your body. I'm curious to know, how does this, you talked about this obviously bringing you more confidence in regular life, but how has this specifically changed your relationship with your body?
I just accept it for what I am. So I have a respect for it. And it, again, even after that, so when I started, like I said, I had fluctuating weight when I actually started college, my senior year of high school and my, you know, freshman year of college, I was actually probably the thinnest I had ever been. But again, I was in college. So I did the typical freshman 15 from having so much options of food and the meal card. And another thing I did was, of course, the traditional college partying. So I was drinking a lot. I did do the binge drinking. So by the time I was a senior, and actually when I started, I was, you know, my clothes were a lot bigger than they were when I started college. But at that point, that was probably, you know, one of the times I'm most insecure, and probably the time when I should have covered, and that's the time I didn't, and I just went for it. And now, you know, after college, I did cut back on drinking. I started just social drinking, because I still like beers and some bourbons, but again, I haven't gotten blackout drunk since college. And even then, I'm now very outdoorsy, whether it be, again, swimming at a nudist resort or even just regular mountain biking and hiking. I enjoy doing that, so I'm an active person, and now I am, like I said, I am a little bit more fit, but I did it just because I enjoy the actual outdoor activity. I changed my diet for health, of course. Like I said, cut back on drinking, and I more, even now I do eat a lot smarter. I still love my junk food, but my pizzas and my burgers, but, you know, I took care of myself. But it, again, it was never, it was always to better overall health, never to be thinner, or to be more fit, or look better in swim trunks or anything like that, or look better nude. It was always just, you know, sort of a, I didn't care, it just naturally happened, only because I really didn't have that sort of internal pressure to lose weight or to do any of that. So I just, again, it wasn't anything that I, like you said, the relationship with my body was just, it was a lot more accepting of it. Basically, I was not, you know, worried about vanity pounds. If I put on a shirt, I was not worried that it was too tight and my love handles were sticking out. You know, it was just living my life and just accepting it. And like I said, over time, I'm in better shape now than I was then. But even then, that never discouraged me from practicing the lifestyle.
Yeah. So at this point in your life, how many people outside of the community, the folks you've met through this community, how many people know that this is something you do?
Very few. So it's probably, I could probably count them in my finger. I'm going to say about 6 or 7.
When did you decide to tell them this, or how did they find out?
So it's funny, the first person I told was my college best friend, who's actually the one person I met my freshman year through a class, and we've actually still been really close friends. And it was just something, since we were so close, it's something I told him probably about a year or two after I had practiced, just to tell him, you know, hey, you know what I did? I went to a nudist resort, and I've been going back since, and I'm a nudist. And he's just kind of said, oh, that's cool, that's interesting, and kind of had the typical questions. But after that, never, like I said, we've been such good friends before and since that he never really did much to it. And the other people I've told, they've, again, they're just close friends that I trusted, and they were, are very accepting of it.
How have you, and I don't know how much opportunity you've had for this, but how have you seen this accepted culturally in different places in the country or in the world? Have you seen different attitudes toward this depending on where people are living?
Yes and no. So again, and I've moved around since college, so I've lived in different cities and have practiced in that various region. In addition to that, I've traveled to various states. So it is very more accepting, I think, traditionally, again, because I'm sort of from a, you know, I grew up in a red state, so I know the general, like, sort of ideology. So it is sort of more accepted in more liberal states, but not necessarily the case, since oftentimes, for obvious reasons, weather is a big factor in a lot of the resorts. A lot of the resorts, especially the larger numbers, are obviously in states that have better weather throughout the year. So it is sort of accepted, but again, it's sort of a same community. So what's really cool is that you could go to a red state and there's probably nudists around and you find them. And especially now through the internet, through networking, you know, hey, I went to this state, not many nudists there, but or no places to go, but there are nudists there. So it varies. But of course there are more in a lot of the more liberal states. And then again, it also has to do with space. Oftentimes states that have more rural space will have a resort for the, obviously, the privacy reasons. Oftentimes you won't find too many in heavily populated areas for that reason. So there's different factors to that. But generally, like I said, there's nudists all across America from every state. So one of the crazy things is I know many nudists from Utah, and there's no place you could get nude in Utah. But again, there's places where you could travel, and there is a community there. So it just varies. But again, there is a little bit more of the liberal states do have more options because they are more inclined to approve a said resort or anything of that nature. But I mean, yeah, you do kind of see it, but again, you see it more, I think weather has more of a factor because you do see it more in warmer climate states. For example, the obvious, if you have to rank them, I think the states that have the most resorts would be Florida, number one, California, number two, Texas would probably be number three. And you know, the rest, the other warmer states probably have just one or two resorts, but it's still an option as opposed to, like I said, there's more of an abundance of them in, or sort of another, you know, sort of like larger groups in Florida and California.
Fewer in like Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, again, that's a perfect example. I know several Minnesota and Wisconsin nudists. But if you combine that area, combine the two states, there's maybe about three resorts for obvious reasons.
Yeah. So one of the perceptions that I hear or I've seen about nudism is that a lot of times when it's portrayed in media, it's portrayed as not just a personal choice or a hobby, not even a hobby, but not something for themselves, but also a lot of the characters see this as like an ethical necessity. Like this is something that people should be doing and the world would be better if nobody ever wore clothes. I'd love to hear where you fall on the spectrum and where maybe the community as a whole falls on this. Are there people who are like, who think that this is an ethical, who are doing this for ethical reasons rather than comfort? How does this perception line up with reality?
There is some truth to that. So I wouldn't say of the people I know, I think there isn't people that are doing it for that ethical reason, but there is truth that I think it would be a lot better place if more people were accepting of this lifestyle or practicing it for that reason that I said, your guard is down and you're just sort of accepting people for who they are. So, you know, I know right now in this political climate, you'll be surprised how a political conversation at a nudist resort does not get as heated, and it's more openly spoken as opposed to just talking to your coworker about it. Where, I mean, we see it all the time in the news, where just two people on the news will person votes that way. But, you know, with that, again, there is that open dialogue, and I think there would, like you said, there would, it's not so much a philosophy or a thought, but there is some truth to it. Maybe it would be better if more people were more accepting and practiced of it, but more people do it for the, again, for their various reasons, for the comfort of it, the openness, the community, again, the shedding of insecurities. More people are, there's different reasons why people practice it, but I think there is sort of that, there is some truth to it. I don't think anybody does it for that reason, but there is some truth because they see how it has affected their lives, and oftentimes for the better. There's very few people that say, you know, this was never a positive in my life. It was more of a negative.
If you had the option, and socially it was fine and legally it was fine, if you had the option to be nude all the time, would you take it?
Again, that varies. Again, with weather, I probably wouldn't if it's snowing. You know, even certain activities like grocery shopping with everybody kind of always bumping into people, and, you know, I don't think I want to be naked and get hit in the back by a shopping cart, or, you know, somebody just bumping into me. But I mean, I would encourage it if it was more accepting. Definitely. I mean, that's kind of hard because I think, like, the main thing that nudists always say, it's sort of the saying that they have is clothed when practical, nude when possible. So for obvious reasons, for legal reasons, I can't go to the mall nude, but I don't know, it's react advantage of it. So for example, if a city said, hey, it's clothing optional, I'm pretty sure I probably would in certain places, and probably not in others. But like, what's funny is that with my position at work, I am involved in a lot of new hire interviews and so and things like that. So it's funny is that as a nudist, I judge people by that. If somebody's not dressed properly, I probably won't hire them. So that's kind of the irony of that, is that there's still the perception. I still have that mentality of, you know, professionalism. So for example, at a job interview, even if I could be nude, I probably would still dress to impress and wear a suit. So it's just, I don't know. I guess that's the best way to answer that question. But I definitely would take more advantage of it. You know, it would be cool to just kind of not have to put on my shorts and my t-shirt to go get my mail and things like that. So,
yeah, no, it's really interesting. Okay, so that's most of my questions, but I want to make sure that, let me ask, I've got kind of two closers. My main one is the one that I ask every guest who comes on here, which is, can you say something to the two likely pools that our listeners are going to fall into? Some who maybe do practice nudism or are interested in it, and others who are like, I would never do this, I don't understand this. So I'd love for you to say something to maybe somebody who is considering this, and maybe some advice or some encouragement, as well as maybe the one thing that you want somebody who has no interest in this or no connection to this to walk away with. So say something to each of those two possible listeners. Okay.
So for the person who's considering, I would say just go for it. I did, like I said, there was a lot of hesitation and research and a sort of a desire to try it for about almost 3 years before I ever did. And my only regret from that is not trying it sooner. So I say just go for it. I'll kind of mention some resources to use, because one of the things I want to point out too is I'll provide some of the resources to do the legitimacy and do the research. Because don't use Google, is basically what I'm trying to say, because the bad part is that there's so much social media and so many options that you're going to get the false information. Like I said, you're going to get things that are sexual. For example, I know if you do Google, say, nudist resort in my area, one of the things that will happen, I know I'm not 100% sure on the legality of it, but again, you may get a swingers resort. And I think, if I understood correctly, a swingers sex resort cannot advertise as such. So often they're going to be titled something like couples only or adults only, clothing optional, or nudist resort. And they'll have a word like a lifestyle, because they can't flat out say we're a swingers club. So oftentimes people will sort of do that research and say there's a nudist resort near me, and people will say, oh, there's these perverts there. And then it'll kind of discourage somebody there. And like I said, with social media, you're going to get so many, and that's kind of why I wanted to do this and sort of offer my advice, is with social media, you're going to get fake nudists, and real nudists could easily point them out. I know I've tried doing a lot of social networking where you kind of join a nudist club on Twitter, and people are saying, oh yeah, I do this all the time, and you know, we kind of have big orgies, and it's like, no you don't, you know. and there's just, you know, guys that just want to get off on that and give false information, when in reality they're just catfishing and doing a lot of just, you know, pretending just to get off on the internet on that. So I mean, because one prime example was somebody who, I remember talking to a guy who seemed legitimate on a nudist social media website that I did join, sort of like Facebook early on, and it was legit, and over time it's just sort of dwindled down to just people that are joining it just to you know, see naked pictures and to kind of get off. And so I remember having a conversation with a gentleman based on where he lived, and I said, oh, do you go to this resort, because you live there, it's one that I go to often. And he says, oh, the last time I went, I couldn't because they don't allow single males. And I'm thinking, that's not true at all, I go all the time, you know. So, and things like that, and people saying, oh no, well I don't do this, but I do it at home, and I, you know, jerk off all the time. And it's just, that's the kind of information you're going to get if you start going through Twitter or Google, and so a lot of the false information. So do the research. I'll mention sort of the sites that will allow you. And if you find a club, I mean, do the research and call them, you know, nudists are open. So if you see something where you're going to find a resort or a place to go, email them, and they'll be more than happy to guide you through. And be honest, I'm a first timer. Here are my questions, and they're always happy to help for that. So definitely just go for it. Do the research and just try it, because almost everybody who is in my position that tried it says the same thing. They liked it. The awkwardness was over within the first 15 minutes, and they loved it and continued doing it. And very few people say, oh, I didn't like it, I felt awkward, and I never did it again. And that's fine too, you know? So my goal for them is to go for it. And anybody that's kind of on the fence or not thinking about, would never try this, just, you know, don't try it, but, you know, keep an open mind and listen to people. It's not a bad activity. It's not sexual. It's not, you know, and sinful in any way. It's actually very positive for many people. So just, you know, if possible, don't judge and listen for that. So like somebody had actually mentioned, I remember converting a friend actually, and she said, so what do you do? And we said, like, anything you do at a typical resort, we swim, there's volleyball nets for sand volleyball, and we talk and discuss everything from taxes to places to eat. And she says, so it's basically just like a country club, only you're naked. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. All right, so before we close out officially, is there anything that you wanted to make sure and get to in this discussion that we haven't, anything that I just didn't even cross my mind to ask about, anything else you want to share?
One of the things I wanted to, like I said, I sort of, again, it kind of went back to the question you asked me about the people I tell. I was sort of planning, but again, we got so into the conversation that I sort of, you know, passed. But, you know, there is that misperception that I did struggle a lot for in my personal life with friends and with family. And that's the good thing about it too, is that it's very private. A club will never disclose anything. They'll never give out your personal information. They're very strict about privacy and photographs, especially now with smartphones. And so But it is something where when I was single, I am in a relationship right now for the last 2 years with somebody who was open and she did try it eventually. But it did sort of affect my relationships when I was single, especially when I would move around. Anybody that you tell is the only person that will know. So one of the worst examples was prior to meeting my current girlfriend. I met a girl through one of the social dating apps, and it was going very well for 3 months until I finally told her during dinner one day, and she got very quiet and she ghosted me after that. So like I said, there is that misconception that it was difficult, which is why, again, I tell people I trust, and anybody else, they're only going to find out if I tell them. For example, my parents don't know, you know, those family do not know, and it's good to keep it that way. And I can keep it that way. That's the one thing. And the biggest nightmare that most people probably have is running into, and it actually happened to me too, is running into somebody that, that, you know, and at that point you have nothing to worry about because they're there for that same reason.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And so all it does is just kind of unveil that, oh, hey, we had this in common. We should keep in touch, you know?
Yeah. No, that's, thank you for sharing that. I think that's, kind of knowing being able to keep that to yourself or to share it as much as you want, that being entirely your choice is something that I think is really, that opens up doors for people that it wouldn't otherwise, being able to explore that, to practice that on your own without having to share that. That's awesome. All right. So first of all, thank you so much for being willing to chat with me about this. Give me a second to plug anything, and maybe not be for yourself, but definitely some of the resources that you've used that are useful. What would you like to share with our listeners who might want to know more?
Okay, so the main, like I said, if there's anybody that wants to find out more information about the lifestyle, at least here in the U.S., the website is ANR.com, so that's AANR.com. So again, that's the American Association for Nude Recreation. And that's the site I use for the club locator feature. Like I said, you could find out what club is in your area or in an area where you'll be visiting. And one thing I want to point out, there's actually two types of clubs that you'll find in anywhere, actually. It's one's called Landed, and that's just what you know as your traditional nudist resort where they have an actual ground. And then you'll see a lot of clubs called non-landed or travel clubs. And what that is let's say, for example, a large city that doesn't have anywhere nearby. So for example, we were talking about, let's say, Minnesota. Let's say there is a large nudist community in Minneapolis, but there's no resorts nearby. They have sort of they're called travel or non-landed. So there's no official land, but they are a group. So oftentimes they're a good resource as well, because what they do is they just gather both clothed and nude. Because like I said, I've moved to different cities. So I've actually experienced, I've actually been members of both, even now where I have a club nearby. Or an actual resort. I'm still part of a lot of the travel clubs where I live now and where I used to live. And so they are a good resource. And what they do is, like I said, there's not an actual club, but they do have members that have homes where they host pool parties, or they actually, I've heard cases where they've rented out a bowling alley and, you know, kind of done things like that. And so even, like I said, they have things like clothes potlucks and nude events, and they're sponsored by ANR, so you'll find them in that ANR club locator. But in addition to the club locator to find the legitimate resorts, they do have a lot of essays, frequently asked questions, a lot of sort of media links, again talking about the lifestyle and the legitimacy of it. I know there's a really good article about women who are hesitant to try social nudism that I read actually the other day, so it's a good resource for it. That's probably your best resource. Another one that's really good is it's called closedfree.com. Actually, again, similar to ANR, I believe they did. And what that is, it's sort of, again, sort of news, and they actually have with a paid membership, they actually have what's called Nudes in the News, and it's a nudist newscast. There is nudity to it, and it is paid, but it's not that expensive. It's maybe, believe me, and have videos, and again, they're talking about just nude recreation. It's simply news about legitimate nude recreation and videos, so it's actually really cool. And now they updated the site, so they're going to be going weekly as far as posting. They had been kind of idle for about 2 years, but they are going to start. They have started posting weekly, I believe every Saturday. So again, that one is closefree.com. And then one of the things I wanted to talk to you here was about podcasts. So one of the, there's very few, like I said, even from podcasts, if you search nudist, you're going to find a lot of podcasts that, again, are sexual in nature, and they're just sort of guys trying to get off. For example, I saw one the other day where it was just a guy who was just talking about his fetish of being humiliated by other guys. So, I mean, it's not there's not going to be much legitimacy to it. Yeah. But there is a brand new one. The gentleman, I believe his name is Scott, and it's called the New Nudist Podcast. So it's actually very good if you're thinking about being a new nudist, because it does have, he is talking about sort of the trials and tribulations that you have to go through being a first timer. So he actually just started it this year, and he started posting again, stopped because of the pandemic for a while, but
yeah,
that's actually a really good one. And then the other one is Our Naked Story, and that's actually a couple that goes to one of the California resorts that I've been to, Glen Eden, and they're members, and they actually have a podcast where they talk about that one. So again, the two party. And then there is a movie that was filmed at one of the California nudist resorts called Act Naturally, and I believe if you go to moviephone.com, it will tell you where you could stream it. I believe there is somewhere where it's streamed for free. I know you could rent it. It's not expensive because it wasn't well known, so it's about $1 if you rent it on Amazon.
Oh, nice,
but it's called Act Naturally. And it's a movie about, it's an independent film that was very well done about, it is a comedy. So it's about two sisters that have a strained relationship with their dad, and he passes away, and turns out they inherited his nudist resort. But it does, you know, it is a funny film. Again, very low budget. I don't think there's anybody big in there, but it is a really good story because it does talk about the hesitation of the lifestyle, and especially, like I said, from two outsiders. And it actually discusses nudism the way it's supposed to be, even though it is a comedy. It's not like we mentioned, like the Golden Girls, played for laughs.
Yeah.
It is a very good resource too if you want to watch it. So it's actually good, and it's not long. It's maybe about an hour and 20 minutes. So it's a nice little evening watch if you have time.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll be putting all those links and all those names in the show description as well, so that folks who are interested in learning more and hearing more about this can go check those resources out. Well, thank you so much for being willing to share all this with us, Scott. I've learned a lot, and it was really, really just interesting to learn something about this that I think a lot of our listeners just have no experience with. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Like I said, it was good to find a platform where I could talk so openly about it and just kind of educate, because there's so much false information there, and I'm hoping to give my experience, you know, to give people, anybody who was hesitant to do that, to give it a try, and even, you know, people who had a false perception, hopefully I informed somebody. And, you know, one thing I just want to leave with is, you know, for just anybody, even if you don't want to try nudism, just, you know, to say, just go for it. If you have something you want to try, whether it be visiting a nudist resort, skydiving, starting a podcast, hitchhiking across Europe, I mean, just go for it, because, you know, life's too short, and there's so much unexpected that we never know when we get these chances again. So I just tell people, you know, live it, and, you know, have a story to tell.
I
want to kind of leave with.
Oh, awesome, fantastic, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners. You can come back next week, and next Monday I'll have another interview with somebody else about something completely different. And if you would like to be a guest on a future podcast, you can email me at whatsitlikethepodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at @podwhatsitlike, and you can fill out a guest form, and I'll reach out to you sometime. Everybody's got a story. I would love to hear yours. Thank you all. I will see you again next week.